Today's scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Behold, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like a precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
What a blessing it is to see the people of God come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. We're thankful for you being with us here on this morning. Before we get started, I want to see a smile on your face, because it's a good thing to be in the house of God. And friends, it is a good thing. You could be anywhere right now. But you're here, you're God's people, you're a victorious people if you're in Christ. And the reason why you're a victorious people, because you have been covered by the blood of Christ. And those who have been covered by the blood of Christ have sought atonement through Jesus Christ. And now we have something to look forward to, and that's the hope of eternal life. We are surrounded and bombarded with so much negativity around us, and sometimes we bring that negativity even amongst us. Sometimes as husbands, we're negative. As wives, we're negative. As children, we're negative. Why? Because we have allowed the world to be so negative in our lives. Friends, it's time to block that out. It's time to focus on Jehovah. It's time to thank God for Jesus Christ. It's time to exhort one another in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is why we're here, to build up one another in the most holy faith, to provoke one another unto love and good works. Friends, that's why we are here. Now, if you're here for another reason, I would invite you to leave, but hopefully you'll change your mind by the time this lesson is over. Because we need to be a people who are encouraged and who encourage one another. And friends, because of that, we are a victorious people. Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is when God's people dwell in unity. What a beautiful passage. If you look in your Bibles, in Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, you'll see something very interesting. You'll see the Psalm of Ascent, either of Solomon, David, Aleph. Either one of those, you'll see the Psalm of Ascent. And in that, it's the idea of when the people of God would ascend to go to Jerusalem. Some even say is that when they were at the bottom of the temple stairs and they are going up the temple stairs into the temple. They're very short psalms. Psalms that they memorize, that they would say, that they would chant, if you will. When you think about that, they're so short that I believe I can challenge us to not only recognize, but memorize these 15 Psalms of Ascent. They're encouraging. They're helpful. They cause us to be mindful of who we are. Today, I want us to focus on Psalm 133 because of this, because of fellowship. Friends, fellowship is just as doctrinal as the five actions of worship. Fellowship is just as doctrinal as marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Just as doctrinal as the teaching on the Holy Spirit. Just as doctrinal as the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Just as doctrinal. And it is so important that we understand that if we're going to have fellowship with one another horizontally, that our fellowship with God vertically must be intact. For one cannot have fellowship vertically if their fellowship horizontally is off. And when my fellowship vertically is off, then my fellowship horizontally will be off. Now don't go to sleep on me and don't get mad at me yet. I haven't even got started. Don't get started. I haven't got started yet. Friends, because we are a victorious people, and because we have this great psalm right here that we are going to peer into for the next few minutes, I believe that it ought to help us to look within our own hearts and to ask myself, am I truly being the man or woman of God that I need to be at home, here at the church, in my community, on the job? Am I being that person? Friends, I'm not saying, can we get better? I know I can do better. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, are we being those people that God wants us to be, as the psalmist David says? Notice, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, unison, oneness. The same idea that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Notice the illustration that David brings out that I believe is worthy of our consideration. He brings up Aaron, and I wish I had time to go to Leviticus chapter 8, verses 1 through 34, and outline that for us. As God is telling Moses by commandment to consecrate, meaning to dedicate Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. They are not only set aside, but they are dedicated sacredly. They are holy unto God. They belong to God and Him only. Aaron and his sons did not belong to Yisrael. They belonged to God. Because of that, God wanted the priesthood to be that of Aaronic priesthood. Before they were going to be presented before God, we see in verses 11, verses 10 through verse number 15, that Moses was going to be washing Aaron and his sons. He was going to be putting the garment upon them. But then they were going to be dedicated to the priesthood. You look at Leviticus chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Notice what your Bible here has to say. And it's very interesting that they were going to be dedicated to the priesthood, and for 7 whole days they had to remain in front of the tabernacle of meeting. They could not leave the tabernacle of meeting. Notice what your Bible there says. And you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days, and to the 7 days shall he consecrate you, dedicate you, sanctify you, as he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore, you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you may not die. Hold on. Aaron and sons, if you was to leave the tabernacle of meeting, the door of the tabernacle of meeting, you will die. The answer is yes, you will die. Now, notice what he goes on to say. It's powerful. For so I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. Before this took place, here we see that Moses, as he anoints Aaron and his sons with the oil of gladness, if you will, the olive oil, and they were poured on top of Aaron's head. Now listen to this. Look at this. This is powerful. They would take that anointing oil and they would pour it on top of Aaron and his son's head. And as it would run down their head, on their skin, down the mouth of the skirt of their garments. This is the idea that David brings out in Psalm 133. That the anointing of oil is all over his face and running down his beard, down into the clothes of his garments. That's how close the fellowship of brethren it should be in the Lord's church even today. Watch out. Hold up. Be careful, Mike. Some of y'all are already mad at me. I don't care. We can have a private meeting if you want to. I don't care. Friends, David said, notice, this is how the fellowship ought to be. As the oil is running down his face, down his beard, into his garments, that oil is smeared on his face. It is an anointing. It is a smearing. It is a consecrating. It is a dedication. And that's how the relationship of brethren ought to be. But David takes it even further. Notice verse number 3 of Psalm 133. If that wasn't enough for Israel, he brings up Mount Hermon. This is very interesting, friends, and worthy of our consideration. Notice, it is like the dew. It's talking about the night dew. Sometimes when I get up in the morning, I walk outside, and I used to be able to walk outside barefooted. For some reason, I got sticker buds outside now. It's stupid to walk out there now with those. Because you can't enjoy the grass. I hate shoes. I wish I could preach without shoes. But here it is. You go outside and the night dew is falling on Mount Hermon. And as the dew is falling down on Mount Hermon, the dew saturates the ground of Mount Hermon. David, what point are you making? That the liquid that falls from the sky onto the created earth, the mountain of Hermon, as it saturates the ground, that's how the fellowship of God's people ought to be. That's good preaching right there. You know why that's good preaching, friends? Because we struggle in that area. We don't want to get that close to one another at times. Sometimes we don't want to get that close to our own spouses. Sometimes we don't want to get that close to our own children. Sometimes we don't want to get that close to anyone. So what we do is we put up these guards. We put up these walls. We put up things that get between us and God and us and one another. And the psalmist says, no, this ought not to be. Why? Because it's a fellowship. It is a fellowship. Turn your Bibles, notice, to the book of Romans as we take a perusal through the New Testament scriptures. Notice what your Bible here has to say. In Romans chapter 12, as Paul is talking to the church at Rome, notice what he says to them in verses 9 to verse 21. Friends, as we look at this, and we consider the fellowship that we have ought to have as the people of God, this requires great discipline, it requires great love, it requires us having a relationship with God, without hypocrisy, with honesty. Friends, I truly believe that if we can be honest with God, we can be honest with anybody. Here's the question. Don't get mad at me yet. How honest are we with God? Notice, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Hold tight to that which is good. Same idea, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Notice, with brotherly love. The word brotherly love, therefore, joins the idea of fondness. When you're fond of someone, you want them around. You want to talk to them. You want to text them. You want to email them. You want to iMessage them. You want to see them face to face. You want to look in their eyes. And you want to do what's best for them. And you want them to do what's best for you. Paul, what are you telling the church at Rome? Have this brotherly love for one another. Brother Bonnet, I've been hurt before by members of the church. It's hard. Yes, it is. It's hard for Jesus to go to the cross. But he did. So he said, have brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Hold on. Honor, give preference to my brother and my sister in Christ above those who are outside of the body of Christ. Galatians 6 and verse number 10. Yes, I should. I need to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Friends, when I do work for the brethren, I give them the ultimate deal. Why? Those are my brethren. When I do work for the world, I give them a good deal. Y'all hear the difference? I give my brethren the ultimate deal. I give the world a good deal. Y'all get that when you get home. It is something to do God's people much better than you do everyone else. Why? We're covered by the blood of Christ. And even God does his people better than he does the world. Why? Because he has saturated them in his blood. Notice what he says. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in attitude, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in trouble, continue steadfastly in prayer. Why should we fellowship? Because we want to be able to encourage one another in these areas. Notice the very next word in verse number 13. You see the word distributing. It is actually the Greek word koinonia. The Greek word fellowship. Sharing. We ought to be sharing with one another. Sharing what? Sharing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Do we understand that that is also one of the qualifications of an elder? To be hospitable. If it's a qualification of an elder, that means it is a qualification of us as the people of God. Friends, I want to encourage us to be a hospitable people to one another. Invite one another over to your homes. Invite one another out for dinner, for lunch. Encourage one another. This is a tough and angry and cruel world. We need all the help that we can get with one another. We need to encourage one another. Even NFL teams, NBA teams, soccer teams, hockey teams, corporations understand that you need to be encouraging one another because it's a tough road out here. You cannot be a Bill Belichick. You cannot be a Tom Brady unless you have some system set up that you're going to keep one another encouraged. And it's interesting that you have the owner of the team, the head coach of the team, the quarterback of the team, and everybody else is revolving, yet that is a winning organization. Because they keep the core there. One thing about the core, Christianity, God the Father, the Son, the church, they are not going anywhere. The core is going to stand strong. We got to stay with the core. People can come and go. Christians are going to be born into the Lord's, Christians are going to be born. Christians are going to die. But we hang in there, we hold on, and we encourage one another. Notice what he goes on to say. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Not set your mind on high things, but bring yourself down. Associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Friends, this is why we ought to be encouraging one another. Because sometimes we have these attitudes. Sometimes we want to repay evil. Sometimes we want to get back at people. But this is when the older teach the younger and we say to one another, what would God do? What would Christ do? Shouldn't we encourage one another and help one another? The answer is yes. Oh, the fellowship that we ought to have. We ought to be sticking close to one another because that's exactly what God wants us to do. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I wish I had time to go into the background of Acts 17. When Paul and Silas were ran out of Thessalonica, going to Berea. Why? Because they were preaching the gospel. They had only been there 3 Sabbaths, maybe 3 weeks. And as they were there for those 3 weeks, the people heard enough that y'all got to get out of here. So Paul is concerned about the Thessalonian brethren. And he says, I need to write to them and see what's going on. I'm concerned about them. And notice what he says in verse number 9 of chapter 4. But concerning brotherly love, I have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You know who teaches us to love one another? God. Why? Matthew 22,
37 through 40. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do what's best for them. But that brotherly love, that fondness. And friends, we got to dig deep to get that fondness. I told Brother Popejoy the other day, and we were talking in his office, and I said, Brother Popejoy, I've always had a problem with loving hard. You know what? It's gotten me in trouble with some people. But the majority of the world, may or the majority of the brethren, it has not. You know who also loves hard? Jehovah. Jehovah loves real hard. I can prove it. Father, I stand against you. I'm sorry. I'm faithful and just to you in the word of God. Here comes the next day. Father, I'm sorry. Faithful and just to you in the word of God. Here comes the next day. Father, I'm sorry. You know who loves real hard? Jehovah. You know what we say sometimes? I'm not Jehovah. That's the problem. Shouldn't we be like God? Let's fellowship with each other. Let's invite one another into our lives. To encourage one another. To help one another. To stir up one another. Unto love and good works. Notice what he goes on to say. Verse 10. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren. Brethren, those who come out of the same womb. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26, and following, you all the children of God by faith. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and now we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What is it? We come out of the same womb. Yesterday I was so privileged to be in San Antonio. We threw a surprise birthday party for my mother, and all of the children were there. Everyone that came out of the womb of my mother was there. Those of us who are in Christ come out of the womb of God. So as we baptize into Christ, we come out to walk in newness of life. Ye be friend. Friend. We ought to treat one another as friend. When we come go to some other congregation of the Lord's people and they're doing what God said, those are our friends. When we enter into a place and maybe they're not doing what God said, we ought to be encouraging them because they are our brethren. We want them to come back into the fold. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. They are our brethren. Some are weak, some are strong. Friends, we want to get strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to fellowship in this way. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Notice what he says in verse number 1. Here's the Hebrews writer, and he's encouraging these Hebrew Christians. You hang in there. It's interesting that he brings up the Faith Hall of Fame in chapter 11. And says, hey, you need to be looking to them. Why? Their faith was their evidence. The very fact that they lived the life that God wanted them to live was the evidence that they believed God. And then when you go to chapter 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? He's the evidence. So now you come to chapter 13, we ought to be listening to Jesus, the end of chapter 12, and now he says, let brotherly love, your virgin says continue, but the Greek word meno, remain. Let brotherly love remain. Meaning, let it not move from your presence. Brethren, it's difficult to love one another consistently. It's difficult to look past the faults of some consistently. But it's easy to look past our own inconsistencies. But it's difficult to look past the inconsistencies of our brethren. I believe marriages fail because we don't want to look past some of those things. We ought to get strong, mark your mind, when you get married, you got to look past that stuff. Because if not, you'll be divorced 5 years, I promise you. Those first couple of years, they're hard. If you get married with children, it's even harder. If you get married, you start having children, now you got to focus on your children, and next thing you know, you're not focusing on the marriage. But you've got to focus on all of it. This is why we are a fellowship, to encourage one another, to build up one another, to help one another, to say, hang in there. Well, brother, I don't have a husband. You hang in there too. And this is why we want you in our fellowship as well. Well, my children are not living right, and I got their children. You come on too. We want to help you be encouraged as well. That's good preaching there. We want this soft preaching. Preach on the church. Well, this is the church. You got to keep everyone encouraged in the church. And young men, stay with your families. Young ladies, be at home and do what's right at home. You're going to go out and work? Make sure you come home and take care of your business soon. Why? We're family. And we need to encourage one another and help one another and build up one another. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh man, this is a very powerful context right here. Friend, look at this text. When you consider who he's talking to, some of these people were there on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, verses 9 and 10. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So he's talking to those who are scattered abroad. Hold on, we got these different contexts that we've looked at. The context of Rome, and the context of Thessalonica, and the things that they're going through, and the context of Hebrews, and the things that they were going through, and now the context of Peter's, and the things that they were going through, and notice what's going on here, friends. In verse number 1, all by itself, he tells them what? Those that obtain a life precious thing. That's the context right there. Life precious thing. Oh, that stability that holds us together. Friends, let me tell you why I really want to preach on this. Because I want to encourage you as the preacher here to keep your faith strong, and you can't do it by yourself. We need one another. This is why you have to come to the worship. You have to come to Bible class. You have to get with Christians, because if not, it won't be long. You'll be off to the races, and 10 years later, you'll say, I don't know what took place in my life. I tell you what took place. You got away from the fold. We got to stay close to the fold. We got to stay in the fold. We got to keep each other encouraged. And notice what he says in verse number 3. Verse number 5. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your context, verse number 1, faith. Add to your faith. Hold on, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Add to your faith. What are you going to add to your faith, Peter? Let's see. Add to your faith moral excellence, virtue. Add to your faith knowledge. Wisdom. Add to your faith self-control. You can work on that, right? Temperance. Meaning that I keep myself. I watch out for temptation and I don't go into it. I don't allow people to get me all bent out of shape. I make sure that when I'm ready to go do what is right, I do what is right. Self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. That hang in there power. But then notice what he says. Godliness is the next one. Meaning piety. Uprightness. Brotherly kindness. That's fondness. There are some people that I know that you're very fond of. And then there's some people that I know that you could care less about. Right. Now just go ahead and do what they are strong. You can care less about it. It's all the face of the earth today. It wouldn't matter. Not to God. You know who God cares about? Yes. Everybody. I can prove it. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Friends, there's some people that get under our skin. That's bad news. Good understanding. We've got to get in deep and add to our faith that fondness of one another. Are you fond of a brethren? How can we do this? glad you asked. I want to encourage all of us to think about a brother or sister in Christ that you can spend time with, that you can impart some wisdom to. As a matter of fact, Brother Dennis gave me something. He gave me this DVD. I think this DVD is a powerful tool right here about Brother Roach. Can you imagine inviting some brethren over to your house? I think it's 15 or 16, it's 4 DVDs. And let's say, you know, we're going to have a 16-week study. We're just going to go through all of these videos, an hour apiece. And come over to my house for the next 16 weeks, and we're going to look at that, and then we're going to talk about it for the next 30 minutes. Hey, you have an hour and a half, we can talk about God's Word. Brother Dennis, is that a good idea or what? That's a good idea. Man, can't believe my father. But can you imagine inviting somebody? Hey, what's so good about it is we can get you a couple of these. One thing you have to do, if you want to, hey, send a little small donation to a Memphis School of Preaching. If you don't want to, or if you can't, don't worry about it. You're going to still get one because it's still a good work. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All scriptures given about inspiration, profitable for doctrine. Proof, instruction, and righteousness that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Friends, this is a good work. I want to encourage us. Let's get in the Bible. And let's be what God's people desire us to be. And I guarantee you might not like somebody in the Lord's church. But if they get to come over to your house and say, you know what, he's not really a bad guy. He's not really a bad guy. Or maybe, you know what, you just don't like him. There might be something wrong with you. God forbid something wrong with me. I just don't believe could something be wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. Could be. You know why? Because all of us have those little things that just kind of mean it. Oh, but that brotherly love sound. You come over my house, you all the chicken you want to. Tell them they used to try to call them all. That's love you. Can we fellowship with each other? You need to. We need to spend time with each other. Because I guarantee you, we send our children off to school, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to equip your children before they get to that environment. Because that environment, they come home with all types of thinking. And sometimes, your children are 15 years old before you realize, where did that thinking come from? Sometimes as men, you go to work and you're surrounded by people. And the next thing you know, we're not thinking like Christians do. Let's encourage them. Let's spend time with each other. Your best friends ought to be members of the Lord's church. Why? Because our best friend is Jesus Christ. Jesus said to you, by my friend, do what I have commanded you. Mark 15, verse 14. So can we encourage one another? It's just that God taking the Lord's side. Because my fondness for God ought to translate my fondness for my brethren. Who's going to have the first devotional at their house with the DVD? I can't wait. I'm there. Hopefully we can all get involved in that. Because we need to. We have to keep each other encouraged. Got a problem? We'll call the elders, call me. Now, I thought to it. I have a problem with that. I know it's scripture. Fellowship with each other. In Acts 2, verse 42, that's the first thing that took place the day of Pentecost. It continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the family. Put the last folks out to see. That's God. Our fellowship is not just here. Outside of you. Not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be in the fellowship because we want the same thing God wants. What is it? We want you to have your sins washed away. We want you to be a member of the Lord's church. We want you to have that hope of eternal life. We want you to be in Christ. We want you to be like the Ethiopian eunuch going away rejoicing. That's what God wants. That's what you want. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Luke 13:3. Jesus said, I tell you, they accept you, repent, shall all likewise. What's that important? Say that again in verse 5. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Jesus said, confess before men, I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You baptize into Christ. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said that. Be faithful even to the point of death. Jesus said, be thou faithful even to the point of death. Jesus said. Shouldn't we follow after Jesus? The answer is yes. Shouldn't we desire to have fellowship with Jesus? The answer is yes. Don't you want to be in fellowship with the Lord? The answer is yes. Make a child of God. There's an issue you need to have. Let's get those together. Let's get it together. Let's do what God wants us to do. So we can have that unity. As David said, behold, how good, how blessed it is. Brethren, dwell together in. That's what's sad. That's what's sad.